Clearly, many of the mental factors enumerated here can be identified with emotions. Finally, in the list of 51, there is a group of four mental factors referred to as the changeables. These are sleep, regret, investigation, and minute analysis. They're called changeables because, depending on the state of mind, they can be wholesome, unwholesome, or neutral. It is most important to be sensitive to the differing contexts in which Buddhist and Western psychology provide treatment of the emotions. We must not confuse the Buddhist distinction between the wholesome and the unwholesome emotions with Western psychology's distinction between the positive and the negative emotions. In Western thought, positive and negative are defined in terms of how one feels when particular emotions occur. For example, fear is negative because it brings about an unpleasant feeling of disturbance. The Buddhist differentiation between unwholesome or afflictive and wholesome mental factors is based on the roles these factors play in relation to the acts they give rise to, in other words, one's ethical well-being. For instance, attachment may feel enjoyable but is regarded as afflictive since it involves the kind of blind clinging based on self-centeredness which can motivate one to harmful action. Fear is neutral and indeed changeable in that it may spur one to wholesome or unwholesome behavior depending on the circumstances. The role of these emotions as motivating factors in human action is highly complex and has attracted wide-ranging attention in the Buddhist treatises. The original Tibetan term for affliction, nyungmong, and its Sanskrit equivalent, klesha, connote something that afflicts from within. A key characteristic of these mental states is their effect in creating disturbance and a loss of self-control. When they arise, we tend to lose our freedom to act in accordance with our aspirations and become caught in a distorted mindset. Given that they are ultimately rooted in a deeply self-centered way of relating to others and to the world at large, when these afflictions arise, our perspectives tend to become narrow. There is extensive analysis of the nature, permutations, subdivisions, interrelationships, and causal dynamics of the mental factors in both Indian and Tibetan works on Buddhist psychology. Asanga's list, which we're using here, must not be considered exhaustive. For instance, fear and anxiety do not appear, although they arise in other contexts and other lists. Despite the differences among the systems of enumeration, the organization of the lists of mental factors reflects the underlying objective of identifying and clearing negative emotions and cultivating positive states of mind. I've long wondered how we might relate the Buddhist psychological framework of wholesome and unwholesome mental processes to the understanding of emotions developed by Western science. The 10th Mind and Life Conference in March 2000 gave me an opportunity to think about this area more deeply. Since the theme of the conference was destructive emotions, and a number of experts on emotion from the Western scientific community came for a week-long discussion in Dharamsala. The proceedings were moderated by Daniel Goleman, who I've known for a long time. It was Dan who first presented to me the numerous scientific studies that suggest a close relation between an individual's overall state of mind and his or her physical health. This conference is where I met Paul Ekman, an anthropologist and psychologist who has spent several decades studying emotions. I felt an immediate affinity with him and sensed that a genuine ethical motivation underlies his work, in that if we understand the nature of our emotions and their universality better, we may be able to develop a greater sense of kinship in humanity. Also, Paul speaks at exactly the right pace for me to follow his presentation in English without difficulty.